Our reading today is from the book of James, chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. Courageous is patience. Therefore, brothers and sisters, you must be patient as you wait for the coming of the Lord. Consider the farmer who waits patiently for the coming of rain in the fall and in the spring, looking forward to the precious fruit of the earth. You also must wait patiently, strengthening your resolve, because the coming of the Lord is near. Don't complain about each other, brothers and sisters, so that you won't be judged. Look, the judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of patient resolve and steadfastness. The word of God for the people of God.
Grateful to my sister in Christ for helping us to continue in worship and offering the word of truth. Thank you, my friend. And I have to tell you, I love singing carols. Anybody else with me? Okay. So I like singing the whole thing, and I love singing every verse, and we're going to do that. Is that okay with everybody here? I guess it's too late, isn't it? Because we already sang all four verses. So, but we have excellent, excellent musicians that go ahead and go with the flow. Let's go ahead and give them a hand because they do a nice job. Nice job. Join with me in prayer. Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for the words that we sing. Certainly they're familiar, but they also remind us of your word in our lives, the living word. And as we've heard it shared once again, beautifully, it speaks to us of seeking to be in your time and in your season and following you and you alone. Help us to be open. Help us to be open to follow. It's in the name of Christ, our Savior, that we pray. Amen. Carrie and Joe and Neil could hardly wait to go down and see what was underneath the tree. You know Carrie and Joe and Neil? You know Neil. That's me. Carrie was my older sister, is my older sister, and Joe was my older brother. And Christmas morning, early, it was still dark outside, and it was still cold outside, because this was Pennsylvania, and we were all just kind of huddled there waiting for the signal that it was okay. Okay, you can come down now. We didn't just automatically run down and start tearing open things and throwing everything all over the place. That eventually happened. But we were waiting. And it seemed like as we were waiting, whenever you're awake, and it's Christmas morning, is it easy to go back to sleep unless you've been the one setting out the presents and arranging everything? If you're waiting, if you're a kid, that is, seems like it's unending. It'll never come. And yet it does. And oftentimes there's great joy and there's great happiness that follows. Well, I'm going to share a bit about something that is worth waiting for and worth waiting on. God's path, direction, guidance in our lives. Believe it or not, it is the third Sunday of Advent. We have three candles lit up here on the altar. And we continue that journey of Advent. Again, Advent, God breaking into our lives, God speaking into our lives in a new way. We continue that journey again, waiting on God, seeking to focus on God. It's a challenge sometimes, isn't it? We feel, well, I got to get this done. I got to get this made. I have to get a gift for this person. I have to send a card to that person. I have to make cookies for the pastor. All these important things. You know how I kind of slid that in there? I mean, a lot of you, I'm just hypnotizing you right now. It's just like, oh, yes, I got to get that. Anyways, obviously I don't need them. But anyways, all of those things that we start thinking about start adding up. And if we can imagine them as blankets that we pull over ourselves on a cold night, okay? All of those things we pull over ourselves. And if you pull over more and more blankets, can you see out from under all those blankets? With all the stuff that we add into our lives that we think we have to do in Advent, it's more and more of a challenge to see God through it all. To hear God. To follow God. For us, that is really what this journey is about. Following God. And if we keep God at the center of it, and if we seek to be on that path, then truly there is joy that is experienced. Not exasperation, not weariness, not crankiness, but rather joy. And remember, joy can only come from who? God. Joy can only come from God. Happiness is something that we try to attain. Happiness is something that we try to fill our lives with by this or that, dulling our senses possibly sometimes. But it fades. Joy is unending. That's why it can only come from God. What do you want for Christmas? Think about that right now. What do you want for Christmas? Does it have four wheels? Is it red? Does it have three wheels and it's pink? What do you want for Christmas? Think about that just for a second. When we pause, when we're in God's timing this time of year, there are two questions, two important questions that we ask. What do you really want? What do you really want? Your heart of hearts, the deepest, most intimate place inside. And then what will make a difference in your life this Christmas? Getting a certain particular thing, having a particular team win, having your list checked off earlier than you expect, certainly those are all things that might make us happy, but what is going to make a true difference in your life this Christmas? This is a goal that I want to suggest to all of you. Come Christmas Day, December 25th, our goal is to be different as a result of our spiritual preparation during our Advent journey. Now, what does that sound like? Lent and Easter. Lent is certainly one of those times when we start thinking about spiritual preparation and prayer, and mentioned this before about giving up something. Advent, or Christmas time as it's most often called, is about stuffing more things in, right? Not giving up anything, but taking in everything. Well, maybe Advent should be closer to Lent. Spiritual disciplines, focusing on God, so that once Christmas Day comes, we will have experienced a new Advent, a new breaking in of God into our lives. Now, in the early church, there was tension. Tension in the air, and tension amongst believers. In the early church, quite often, there were those who believed that Jesus was going to return in their lifetime. Paul even sometimes writes in that way. There was this tension that Jesus was going to be coming back, and we needed to get ready, and yet there was also this waiting, this call to be, I hesitate to even say it, a call to be patient. There are some homes that I've gone into that have had a certain cross-stitch phrase. Lord, grant me patience, but I want it now. Maybe you have that up in your home. It's an honest prayer, and it's something that all of us have prayed at one time or another. Patience is something that is called for here in the early church. Be patient. But patience is more of an issue of time. Allowing God to be at work in our lives. Sometimes it happens in a very powerful, overwhelming way. And when you've had that experience of God's grace just enveloping you, surrounding you, grabbing hold of you in that moment, you remember that. And there are those dramatic moments of grace, but there are also those moments of gradual grace, of amazing grace nonetheless, but gradual grace continuing to work in our lives. And we're not even aware of it. Abiding with God, opening ourselves to God's timing in our lives is what that is all about. You know, in our preschool this past week, it was one of those weeks that at the end of the week, the teachers were saying a very simple prayer. Thank God it's Friday. And they were saying it reverently, actually. There were some tears in the eyes, I could see. Because the kids, as it was getting closer and closer to break, anybody ever been a teacher here and deal with kids as it's getting closer and closer to break? Is it like herding cats? Is it like trying to get the attention of you know, those cats running all over the place? They could care less. And inevitably then, on that last week, what do people bring in? Sugar! The form of cookies and chocolate. Go ahead and eat this! The teachers were getting a little bit too much of a thrill of getting the kids to eat all of this than kind of sending them off with their parents. Merry Christmas! The gift that keeps on giving for at least another 20 hours. Patience and waiting. Waiting on God. Sometimes we're like those kids. We want something to come. We want it now. But to be able to wait, to be able to sense God's presence and being God's timing is a spiritual discipline. It takes being in God's Word, reading the Bible. It takes prayer. It takes worship. It takes all of those things, but it's worthwhile, isn't it? Because those are the things that truly change us. And those are the things that are truly sustaining. So many other things will come and go. The gift du jour. The gift of the year. I don't even know what it is this year. One year it was Cabbage Patch dolls. Anybody remember that? It's been all sorts of different things over the years. This is the hot gift that you must get. December 31st, heavily discounted, and who cares? Most of them are broke by that time anyways. It does not last. But God's grace and God's love in our lives, those things never fade away. We might ignore them, but God is at work in sustaining and surprising ways. One person was sharing with me their preparation for Christmas. Go ahead and get it done. Go ahead and get it taken care of. Pastor Derek Maul offers these words, however, for decorating a tree. He writes, "Each ornament on our tree represents something unique. The bumblebee angel the children made, the stained glass bell lovingly crafted by an old friend, the treasured corn husk, Seraph, we found in Appalachia the week we discovered we were expecting our first child. The doll Rebecca brought back from Haiti that gently reminds us Christ came for everyone. Taking time, being in the moment, allowing God to speak to us through those things that we do in our lives, but also through surprising ways that God speaks. While we wait, we also follow James' advice in this scripture to strengthen your hearts. Strengthen your hearts. I don't know that this is necessarily meaning you get on a treadmill or that you start walking, although that's good. That's okay too. I'm good. We can go ahead and finish out like this. Thank you. We strengthen our hearts by keeping our focus and on concentrating on what really matters in our life, our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's a way to strengthen our hearts. It is easy to get sidetracked and lose our way. And remember this, being busy is not a substitute for being faithful. Let me share that again. Being busy is not a substitute for being faithful. Sometimes the busyness that we jump into is of our own making. It's not really God guiding us. We keep our focus this season on God's most precious gift to us. And what is, who is God's most precious gift to us? Who is God's most precious gift to us? Yeah, amen. We need to let go of everything else, folks. We let go of everything else. Going to help you to be radical, to be people of faith. Waiting patiently does not mean we just do nothing, however. We do not passively sit in our easy chairs and wait, but instead continue to participate in what Jesus calls us and expects us to do. Ours is an active, active waiting. We've made our list, and we've checked them twice. We know exactly what we want. However, only Jesus knows what we really need. There's a difference between what we want and what we really, really need. I want that cupcake. But do I need it? Some of you are saying, yes, go ahead. You need it. Only Jesus knows the difference. Jesus will come again. We don't know when, but Jesus will come again. Are we ready? Are we prepared? It mentions in this scripture from James also about one knocking at the door. Christ is knocking at the door of our hearts. Are we open? Are we open to renewing that relationship with God through Him? A very simple prayer that we can offer at this time, not only the one that we've already offered in worship, Lord, here I am, but another one. Come, Lord Jesus, into our hearts. Come, Lord Jesus, into our hearts. Come, Lord Jesus, into our hearts. Nelson Mandela passed recently. And he was a man who had gone into prison and emerged as a leader who understood that bitterness and hate, no matter how justified, would not allow him to experience true freedom unless he left it behind in that cell. For 27 years, in deplorable conditions, he waited. Waiting doesn't mean that you cannot be busy. It should be a time of activity for all Christians, whether it lasts 5 minutes or 27 years, whether it is in deplorable conditions or in line during communion or at your local grocery store. Waiting can be a sacrament you participate in. Have you ever thought about that? Waiting on God as a sacrament, as something holy, a place where God speaks to you as his child. It is a sacred activity to help one figure out the Christian walk. A lot of people don't know that Nelson Mandela was also a lifelong Methodist and died from a lung infection. When he was released from prison in 1990 and was asked what he learned during his time of waiting in prison, Mandela shared this. "I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear." I think sometimes whenever we think about following God and truly handing it all over to God, maybe one of the things that we're fearful of is just how God is going to work change in our lives. Maybe we're too comfortable. Maybe we're too comfortable in our routine with the things that we have. Maybe we're comfortable with the toys that we've surrounded ourselves with. Maybe, this Advent is the Advent that God is going to speak into your hearts and enact a change that allows you to feel true joy. Maybe even for the first time in your life. That's the kind of love. That's the kind of grace that only comes from God. And that's the kind of love and grace that is coming to you right now. Not because I'm saying it, but because God made you, breathes new life into you, has given you a Savior, offered you new life, and speaks into your journey today in a way of unspeakable love. That's the kind of God we have. Those two questions, once again. What do you really want? And what will make a difference in your life this Christmas? Wouldn't it be wonderful, Christmas Day, if the best present that we opened was the gift of renewed life and joy in our hearts? I ask you to join with me in a moment of reflection. How are you open to God as we continue in this Advent journey?